you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. Put your finger there. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 31. Put your finger there. Turn to Psalms 149 and hold your finger there. Amen. And those of you who don't have your Bible, I expect to look back and see you like this. Because you ought to bring your Bible to church. I've got a friend that was in Desert Storm, the first one, and he was a truck driver. And he said it was so hot that they just sleep on the back of the truck at night. Well, he didn't have to worry about sand fleas and things like that. It was cooler. And he said he's out there one night, and he had got stuck in a place in Kuwait, in a town in Kuwait, and he said he was there. He didn't get to go back to the place in Saudi Arabia. So he said, I had to spend the night there. And he said, it amazed me that about 8 blocks away, you could see Iraqi soldiers walking around. And he said, they had a bunch of new recruits there. And he said, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sleeping real good knowing the enemy wasn't that far away. And he said, this stupid sergeant jumped up in the middle of the night and started hollering, alarm, alarm, everybody to your place, everybody to your place. I said, all them young guys went running out and dove into their foxholes and everything else. And he said, one of them had a knife. Nobody else carried anything else. And said, the sergeant looked at him and said, guys, if they were really coming, we'd be in a mess because y'all out here ready to fight with nothing to fight with. Hello? Some of y'all came to a war empty-handed this morning. Y'all should have known I was going somewhere with that. Amen. You need to bring your Bible to church with you. I know we're going to put it up here behind me, but you need to bring your Bible with you. You never know when you might have to deflect somebody throwing something at you or something. You need it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 31, For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. And every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tambourines and with harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. Amen. Now, Psalms 149. You're getting into some of the stuff I like. Amen. Listen to what he says in that sixth verse. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Uh-oh, some of y'all messed up. You can have the high praise of God this morning, but you ain't got your sword with you. Whew. That's important if you're fighting. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgments written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message. It was said, the five lies the devil would have you to believe. Last week, I preached about three things the devil don't want you to know. This week, I want to talk to you about secret weapons of our warfare to use against Satan. Amen. You know, I guess the tickle, like one of these days, I'm going to do a sermon on the weapons we can fight with. You know, we keep talking about, well, I got to have an M16 or something like that. God likes donkey jawbones, ox goads, a rock. I mean, he can use anything to give you victory if you just willing to let him get a hold of it. Come on, church. But now God has given us the ability to fight against the enemy. Notice in this, all three of these are connected. I know y'all sitting thinking, how's that going to work? In the book of Chronicles, the enemy has come against them. They're in bad shape. It's gotten so bad, they've lined up outside, cut them off from supplies, and they're selling donkey heads for 15 shekels of silver for people to boil up and make soup out of. Now, I don't know about y'all. I've eaten a lot of things in my life. Brother Larry was back there by the office this morning and said, "You ever eat possum?" I said, "Yes, I've eaten possum. Have you ever eaten coon?" "Yes, I've eaten coon." "Have you ever eaten beaver?" "Yes, I've eaten beaver." Hello? I've been overseas and eat stuff, and I didn't ask what it was. So I'm not sure what all I might have eaten. Amen. But you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't, in all of my recollection, ever remember eating donkey head. Hello? Don't know that I'm ever going to get that hungry. But let me show you something. Things got so bad. Notice what happened. The Bible said that all of a sudden the Jehoshaphat makes a rule to God, said, "God, I need your help. You need to help me out." And God said, "Appoint singers." And notice what happened when they begin to sing unto God and they begin to praise unto him. This is something important. 22nd verse, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. Can I tell you that if you'll learn how to lift up the name of the Lord in praise and magnify him even in trouble, the enemy that has come against you, God will begin to ambush him and take him out before he ever makes it to the fight where you're going to have the battle. If you just learn how to lift up the name of Jesus and magnify him, my God is going to give you victory like you've never had before. Could you say amen? See, notice this in Isaiah chapter 30. I'm going to blow some of his mind, but I can prove it through theological circles that I deal with. But in the 30th chapter of Isaiah, he is talking about the possible coming Antichrist. And he said God is going to take him out. But notice how he did it. He did it with timbrels and with harps. How did he do it? With people singing praises and worship unto God. Can I tell you, church, they need to understand we have something we can use against the enemy that the enemy can't handle. Could you say amen to that? Praise God. Notice this. In the book of Psalms, the 149th division, let the high praise of God be in your mouth. Somebody said, "Oh, yeah, preacher." No. Didn't just say praise God. Said let the high praise of God be in your mouth. Now, church, let me tell you something. The high praise of God is a little different from glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. Can I tell you, anybody can say glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. Hello? But the high praise of God is when that praise gets anointed. When there's more to it than you just talking. Come on, church. Say, "Preacher, you couldn't prove that if you wanted to." Praise with a purpose will always turn God. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. I see a bunch of people walking down a side street. They're all bumping into Jesus. They got a lady sitting on the side of the street. Her whole life is shot. She ain't got no other options. Jesus comes walking by. She works her way through the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment. And who did he feel? All them people bumping into him? No. But all of a sudden, he said, "Who touched me?" And one of them said, "You might as well ask who hadn't touched you." He said, They was somebody had a reason for what they did. And when we walk in this building, I'm not just going to raise my hand because the preacher said raise his hand. I'm not clapping because they're singing Granny's favorite song. But I've walked in this building this morning with a purpose. I am going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to magnify him because I understand if I lift him up, my God is going to lift me up beyond everything in my life. And as I praise him, I've got the high praise of God in my mouth. Could you say amen? You say, "Preacher, what's that all about?" Well, if we get the high praise of God, notice what it said. It is going to execute written judgments. Glory. You start praising God, and he starts writing out judgments. They can't go but so far. Hello? You ever had a restraining order? You get to praising God just right. He lays a restraining order on the devil. So you get within 5 foot of him, buddy, I'm going to waste you. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but if I got a guy can make me turn into lightning, I'm going to listen to him when he tells me not to do something. Come on, church. Oh, I see now I got to have a class after church to explain that statement. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. We got to get to that place where we understand the God we serve. Amen. Praise is a weapon that we can use against the enemy to win. It will bring ambushments against the enemy. It'll bring us victory. See, church, God's always been worshipped. If you will, turn with me to the book of Job. Job is going through all kind of turmoil. He's been asking God all kind of questions. He's been talking to God about his problems. He's been trying to figure out how to get it turned around. Can I tell you, sometimes God will get more out of you asking you questions than he ever will answering your questions. Right in the middle of everything, listen to what God says to Job in the 38th chapter in the 4th verse. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. In other words, he said, you got any idea? Well, he understood Job wasn't there when he did it. But he wanted Job to understand that. Come on, church. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Before there was ever a man on this earth, before this earth ever existed, there was a temple in heaven and they were worshiping God. The angels, the sons of God, Bina Elohim, the sons of God, the angels themselves were singing praises unto God on a regular basis. Could you say amen to that, church? And when God said, let there be, the angels went to shouting because he was God and he was worthy to be praised. Could you say amen? Say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Hey, that's why the devil hates the Jews. Because they built a temple on earth that's just like the one that was in heaven, and the devil can't stand it. That's why he spent all his time trying to tear it down and get it out of the way. Why else do you think every time somebody conquered Jerusalem, they tore down the temple? Why else do you believe every time the devil gets a shot at him, he tries to kill every Jew he can get his hands on? Hello? Whenever the devil gets somebody in power, the first thing they want to do is wipe out the Jews. Amen. Why? Because the devil can't stand it, because they built something that he wants and they can't get to it. Come on, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. Listen, God's on top of the mountain. Up on top of that mountain, he's up there. There's clouds and there's lightning and there's sprinting. But all of a sudden, God said, build a tabernacle. Why? Because you see, God likes intimacy. That's what praise is all about. It is getting you into the presence of God where you can have intimacy with God. God told Moses, build a tabernacle. I'm tired of being on the mountain and my people in the valley. I want to come down into that tabernacle and get in the valley and let them be my people and me be their God. Can I tell you, every once in a while, God wants you to open up your heart and magnify him so he can come into your temple and have intimacy with you and get the one-on-one relationship so that you can move in the presence of Almighty God's power. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, you really believe that? Yes, I do. Amen. Listen, the sons of God were the angels. They were led by a worship leader. Hello? His name is Lucifer. I got tickled one time. This lady looked up. She says, you act like a devil's in everything. He was somehow, way or another. Hello? Might want to talk about holidays. I can mess up every holiday you got going. Come on, church. That's why I just have the holidays. Don't worry about it. I'm worshiping God no matter what's going on. Come on, church. Not yet. That's good stuff. 31st this month, we're going to celebrate All Saints Eve. It was there before the Druids ever figured out how to call it Halloween. We're going to celebrate God. That's what it's all about. Come on, church. Smile at me. And I said, well, preacher, what's this got to do with anything? Well, you see, Lucifer, the light bearer, was a beautiful angel. Amen. God created him to lead worship. Amen. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 28. Some of y'all are going to say this, now, preacher, you really couldn't prove that if you wanted to. Not only did he do that, but he gave him the ability to make music within himself. He didn't need an orchestra. He just opened his mouth and played music. Hello? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes were prepared in thee the day thou hast or wast created. Did you hear what he said? I gave you timber and I gave you pipes. I gave you something in you to make music. Thou art the anointed cherub. Now you say, preacher, that's really talking about a king. No, it's not. It says anointed cherub. That makes him an angel. Hello? Come on, church. He seraphim that fly around the throne praising God day and night. He was the anointed leader of the worship in heaven. Amen. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Satan came to this world with a purpose. Listen, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. All of a sudden, you got Satan. He's the worship leader named Lucifer. He's leading the people in worship. But he got to the point he wanted to cut the worship off and keep it within himself. He said, I'm just as worthy as he is. Can I tell you, that's what's wrong with some people. You can't get them to raise a hand because they think they're God's gift to the church. But can I tell you, no matter how good you are not God. And no matter how great you live, you are not his righteousness. And because of that, he is greater. And because he is greater, he is worthy to be worshipped. Could you say amen? Woo. Just this week, I had a chance to realize why I'm not God. They were showing a guy on TV that had done something wrong. And I said, oh, he ought to be crucified. You better be glad I ain't God. Some of these folks do stuff I know they're guilty. Come on, church. Don't look at me like that. Some of y'all do the same thing. But we got a God that's got grace. I'll be honest with you. If I'd have been God when I was 19, I'd have fried me. But God realized before I got through with my 19th year, I was going to figure out that I was wrong and get right and become something he could use. And because of his grace, I'm here. Could you say amen to that, church? And because God's long-suffering, y'all better be glad I ain't God. Hello? What I told a guy one time, I said, God has mercy, but I learned a long time ago I ain't him. Glory. Hello? Smile. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Satan was the worship leader. He got to the point he understand, I want to keep that worship within myself. Let me tell you something, church. You say, you can't prove Satan had anything to do with worship. The Hebrew word for Lucifer, Hallel. Hello? Means the spreader of light. But it also means the boaster and the bragger. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of y'all catch this. Hallel. And then you put it where it's headed. Yah is a word for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all want to put that in English? Hallelujah. Amen. So the word we use, it is actually one of the few praise words that'll grow up all over the world. I don't care what language you speak, you'll say hallelujah. Amen. There's not another word for it in another language. I was in Romania. I had to go 60 kilometers with a dude one morning. We're riding down the road. He got his music on. I don't understand what they're saying. I catch a couple of them. I think I know the song. But we're riding down through there, and he's into it. And by that time, he'd look at me and go, hallelujah. I say, hallelujah. We spent almost an hour and a half riding down them roads and under. And all we said to each other was, hallelujah, but we understood what that was. I got to church, walked to the pulpit. I got 2,700 people out there. Ain't but one of them can speak English, and that's the guy standing beside me. I walked up, said, hallelujah, and they all jumped up, hallelujah. And I'm like, yeah, I know a word in their language. Glory. Fitting to get serious now. Number one. Point one, what is the most powerful weapon that Satan uses against mankind today? Is it drugs, alcohol, adultery, fear? Those are all bad things. He uses them. I mean, we got some folks that are so afraid of the dark, they can't even get up. Hello? We got people that are so scared of stuff they shouldn't be scared of because they watch the wrong things on TV. If you believe they're vampires, quit watching vampire movies. You wouldn't be scared of werewolves. If you never watched a werewolf movie, you wouldn't know they existed. Hello? There is an old saying, ignorance is bliss. Well, preacher, if it ain't that, what is it? It's Satan's ability to control us with music.
Preach it. Nobody controls me with music. Go on believing that. You ever notice you're riding down the road and a fast song comes on and all of a sudden a police car pulls out behind you because you forgot the speed limit? Because you would, and you speed up without thinking? Ladies, when you go to the mall, if it's Christmas time and there's 5,000 people trying to buy out of one department, there's fast music on, isn't it? Because it speeds you up. It gets you out of the department. Go back in February when nobody's there. They got classical on. Because it slows you down and makes you meander around in case you see something you didn't buy at Christmas. Hello? Because whether we like it or not, music controls us. Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. Do you understand that in a psychological study they found out that there are 7 different segments of the vortex of the brain that operates your short-term memory? Amen. And that each one of them responds directly to one of the 7 key changes in the octaves in the musical scale? Amen. That's why when they get in the nursing home and somebody gets real irate, they will put music on to calm them down because they understand eventually they're going to find the right octave and it'll lay that person out. Have you ever noticed you listen to music, people talk, I'm just kind of chilling because they're sitting there listening to music. Do you realize the stop anatepic beat of a rock song will actually slow your heart rate and pull your blood pressure down? Oh no, it's hard, but it will actually be right the opposite of your heart rate, so it slows it down. Call the New England Medical Journal. They're the one who wrote that. I just read it in it. Glory. Come on, church. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? They did a study. Classical music and rock. They played it in a place where they had a bunch of plants in a greenhouse. They played classical music. The plants had 72% more leaves and produced a whole lot more fruit. Folks, you got a problem with your garden? I got your answer. Get Beethoven and put him out there. Glory. Hello? They put rock music in there. The plants grew 7 times faster and died 2 weeks later because they could not get the nutrients from the soil to the top of the plant. Some types of rock music will actually cause you to have short-term memory loss. Oh, we got people saying, let's backmask some of that stuff, see what it says. Them same people listen to country music. You ever turned it backwards? Oh, you turn it backwards, a dog comes home, you get your job back, your wife moves back in. Glory. Come on, church. Seriously, think about this now. Let me see somebody that I know was here. Fall of 2007. What did I preach on Wednesday night? What did I preach on last week? Now, wait a minute. I'm headed to a point. Most people can't remember more than 2 or 3 weeks away what somebody preached on. I had an older preacher one time told me, he said, I had to retire. I only had 5 sermons. I kept changing the place to start them. Some of them figured it out, so it's time for me to quit. Glory. Amen. I had a pastor for 25 years, and once every 6 months, he preached about rebuilding the walls in Nehemiah. That was his favorite verse of Scripture. It was the same sermon. That's what's really wild. And most folk in the church would, whoa, man, did you hear him? And I'm going, yeah, I heard him the last time he did it. Glory. Because I would remember it because that's my job. But you don't remember that stuff. But you can remember a song you heard 40 years ago in the exact place you was at when you heard it. Some of y'all sitting here can remember the song that was on the radio when you kissed your spouse for the first time. And every time it comes on, you get, that's our song. Come on, church. Music plays a big part of our life. Now, notice this. If you take Ezekiel, you take Isaiah, you're going to find out that in Satan was built in 4 of the 5 types of musical instruments. He had percussion. He had wind. He had strings, and he had the other one, keyboards or whatever. But he didn't have any brass instruments in him. He couldn't make the sound of brass. Aggravated him so bad that it was all the way into the 60s before you ever had a rock band use brass. Then a group out of Chicago, Illinois, started playing brass music with their stuff. And it took a while for them to catch on, because everybody going, what in the world? It's the orchestra. This ain't rock music. That's big band sound. But it caught on, because Satan was trying to mimic God. You see, out of everything Satan could do, he could not make the sound of a trumpet. God used that for himself. You say, preacher, can you prove that? Yes, I can. Amen. You see, if you turn with me again to the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 16. And it came to pass the third day of the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of a trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. The Lord spoke, and his voice was as of a loud trumpet. Hello? Come on, church. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? God reserved the trumpet for himself. He would not allow him to make that sound, because he wanted Satan to understand there are some things you can't have. You may mimic me in everything I do, but there are things about me you cannot mimic. And one of them is the voice that I speak. Nobody will ever counteract my voice and think it is you and think it's me. Hello? You say, preacher, keep going. I am. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp and made to meet with God. And they stood in the nether parts of the camp. Listen to this, 19 verse. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. When Moses got to the top, he's still hearing a trumpet. And all of a sudden, Moses said something, and God said, well, I'll talk to you now. Hello? Because he couldn't decipher his voice till God got ready for him to understand. Revelation chapter 1. For I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Amen. What are you talking about? John's on that island. Ain't nothing around him but poison of snakes, bad water. But he hears the sound of a trumpet, and he realizes God's here. Hallelujah. Amen. After, in the fourth chapter of Revelation, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as if it was a trumpet talking with me. Amen. Did you hear that? The voice of God is like a trumpet. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. All of a sudden, the devil's up in heaven. He's messed up. God's thrown him out of heaven. He creates the earth. He throws him to the earth. Finally, he comes down on the earth and starts mixing up some mud and fumbling around with it. And Satan walks by and said, what are you up to now? He said, I'm making your replacement. Oh, some of y'all missed that. See, Satan was a worship leader. Now we're made. And what is our purpose? We're here to worship him. We're here to magnify him. We are the only creation in this world who has an ideology to believe and to lift him up and worship him, not because we have to, but because we want to. Oh, the rocks cry out to him, but they have no choice. The trees will praise him, but they have no choice. The stars worship him, but they have no choice. But I make a choice every morning that this is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Woo! See, the Jews believe so much that a trumpet sounds like the voice of God that they carry these around with them. And when they're going to pray, they will blow a shofar, because they believe the demons in the area cannot discern between the sound of the shofar and the voice of God, so they'll clear the area for a while. When they get through and get ready to go home, they'll blow the shofar again, because they'd say, oh, Lord, the devil's, God's back there. It's time to go. And it puts fear into them to hear the sound of a trumpet. Now, church, remember I said a while ago, anybody go, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. Do that. Just look at your neighbor and go, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Now I want you to do something for me. Take them two fingers and go right down here below where your ribs come together and kind of push in. Now do it again. Say, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You don't feel much, do you? Because you see, you're not opening up. See, to really open up, singers understand you got to push from the diaphragm. And when you do, it opens the diaphragm up. So what you need to do is this time go, glory! Glory! Did you feel something push on your fingers?
That is the diaphragm pushing out to open so the air can flow through your esophagus and out through your mouth so you make more noise. And that, my friend, is what high praise is when you have opened up your innermost being and you begin to worship him. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. Can you give me scripture that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and you can't get it out till you get the top off the well? Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Look here, church. It's just an interesting little thing here. Now, this is off of a goat. Man, they got them. It's about twice this size or longer come off antelopes. It's an amazing thing for this to be used to worship God. Number one, it's not twisted as bad as it is. When they first take it loose from the animal, so you see, if it's going to be used for worship, it's got to have a separation. Got to have a cutting away. If you're really going to worship God right, you got to separate from some stuff. Oh, come on, church. We got people, I'm going to praise God. Well, if you ain't been separated from some stuff, your praise ain't worth nothing. Your praise should be a sacrifice as a sweet smelling savor to God. And you see, they go in there and they have to cut this off of him. But now, let me tell you something. Up inside of here, this ain't empty. It's full of meat and muscle and tissue. They got to dig all that out. And they got to clean it. I'm in Jerusalem one time, and Alex will remember this. This guy had me blowing shofars. I would blow them. He was checking all of his new shofars to see if they'd work. But every time I blow one, he'd give somebody in our group a discount. And so I just kept blowing shofars. I grabbed one, blowed it, and I cleaned the building out. Because that shofar had not been cleaned out and had dead meat and stuff in there. When I blew it, you ain't never smelled the smell. It come out. I went out myself. I went out the back door. He come walking out there, and he said, that ain't no good. He said, glory. If I couldn't get one to blow or it smelled like that, we'd throw it out back. I'll send them back. But you see, they clean it out. They have to give it a cleansing. Now, it also has to do this. They will take it because they want it to bend like this. They will push it down into sand, real hot sand. They just keep twisting it down in there. It does two things. One, it polishes the outside, smooths it off. It cleans the inside out. But it also puts these twists in there. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? If you're really going to worship God, you're going to go through some fiery trials that's going to shape you like God wants you to be. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Somebody talking about, you ought not worship like you do. How you know? You ain't been where I've been. You don't know what God's brought me out of and what I had to go through to get where I am. And you don't know why I'm worshiping him. But if I lift up holy hands in the sanctuary and praise him for what he's done in my life, maybe some of you ought to get in some fiery trial sometime. Have God bring you out the other side and you'll lift up holy hands and magnify him like you've never done before. I know I got to hurry. Some of y'all are in a fiery trial. It's almost 12. I got Old Faithful. 9:45. Come on, church. Notice this. This don't look like this when they take it off. They get it and they twist it. And let's face it, ram horns don't snub off like this. They cut them off. Then they drill this hole till they get to the open spot inside. They call this the hollow of the shofar. The part that goes through here they refer to as the windpipe. And then it comes out the mouth. The word belly, when it said out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, comes from a word properly translated as your hollow. You begin to push your praise, it comes out of your hollow, flows through your windpipe, and pops out your mouth. Because you see, you got something Satan never had. Inside you is a trumpet, a shofar that starts at your belly and comes out. And when you open it up, it brings out praise that'll put the demons on the run. The next time a devil's over at your house, instead of calling somebody saying, ow, the devil's over here, lift up holy hands and begin to magnify God with all your heart. And I guarantee you the devil will begin to move out of the territory, because all he'll hear is a blast of the sound of the trumpet of God, and he'll begin to move. See, I like my so far because it looks like it should. It's just perfect. Glory. Come on, church. I can show you what it looked like. If they took an x-ray, they'd see something like this inside of me. Glory. Hello. Some of you sitting there say, well, preacher, is that all you got to say? See, some of y'all need to get your shofar working, because God's ready to have some intimacy. God's ready to come into your presence.
Well, preacher, that don't mean he's going to come into my presence.
Oh, yes, it is. For God inhabits the praise of his people. You want God in your presence, just begin to magnify him. Begin to praise him from the very depth of your soul. And God will say, oh, I got to go spend some time with him. Hallelujah. Glory. Stand with me all over the house. I'll give you a disclaimer. I've always wanted to give credit where credit's due. I stole this sermon from an evangelist. I changed the beginning of it and worked it a little different. But there's a reason I asked you what I preached on the Wednesday night of the 2007 revival. Because if you go on the internet, you're going to hear this sermon. I stole it from myself. Don't y'all sit there like, oh my God, he stole the sermon. But I felt like God wanted us to get to that place. Listen, church, we're fixing to go to war with the enemy. When we start doing something from God, he ain't going to be happy about it. But if we'll begin to magnify God and praise him, we can have a victory, because God will set ambushments against the enemy. God will put out writs of judgment against them, saying you can't go any farther. Listen, if you will catch the voice of the word of God that I'm giving you right now, listen, church, let me see how I wrote it now. I want to get it just like I wrote it. If you get what I'm saying, you'll never be silent in church again. Not only that, you'll get out of this cycle of failure and defeat that you've been walking in. Because you can never be in defeat while you're praising the one who brought you victory. Hallelujah. You will never walk around, oh, well, I'm just not worthy. No, you'll be praising God going, oh, because he is. I will be. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. This is good stuff. Amen. We just need to praise him tonight, this morning. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy. God, we believe you to touch us with your glory. Father, manifest yourself in this house this morning. God, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah.